Good morning, church. How are you? Very good. We are going to continue along in Colossians today. And before we do, just a little quick reminder to let this lesson today, or the one from last week, flow into today. We looked at the idea last week of setting your heart on things above. And I would probably change that a little bit by saying being heavenly minded. That's fair, being heavenly minded. And of course, we wanted to make the point there that we live in a world where the slogan is, it is what it is. Yeah, we know that. And yes, that's a very earthly way of looking at things, and there's some legitimacy to that, because very often in life we have to just get over something, don't we? We know it's not right, and we just got to move on. But by being heavenly minded, we take an approach that says, but someday it's going to be what it should. And that's what I'm going to work towards. I am not going to let it is what it is rule my life. I am going to live my life in a way that the way it's going to be is a promise, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to live that way. And I'm going to make it happen. So we want to do that because as we look at our text today, one of the things that we're going to find is that I think, in a way, we get into a part of the letter that I think is very important, because we really now move full-blown into a very positive way about how to do these types of things, about being heavenly-minded or setting your heart on things above. That's the type of thing we're going to move into because, Paul's gone through really giving some warnings. He talks about worldly philosophy, not getting caught up in that. I mean, last week we got into the whole idea of you need to put to death a number of things, you know. And that's positive in a way, but putting to death isn't always positive in general, is it? Just kind of the imagery, the wording there. So what he's going to do today is he's going to get into what I would like to think of is really maybe the heart of the letter, about what you do positively, what you do and how you move forward. Because we've made the point earlier in Colossians that very often we fixate on the rules. And the rules will only get you so far. Right, church? Because if the rules... Or let me say it this way, if the heart is never captured, you can have all the rules you want, and a person isn't going to really end up being very spiritual, are they? I am not denigrating the rules, but the rules only get you so far. And I would submit to you, church, it is, I think, baseline in Scripture, God wants the heart. If He gets that, He can do something, okay? So now, let's go ahead and bring up our text this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Let's read that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's a great reading, isn't it? Yeah. You see now why it captures, I think, the heart of what Paul really wants to come to. Sometimes in life, you got to say all these other things to lead up to what you really want to get to. And so I think we're there because we're going to see in positive ways. Now, here's the deal. You look at this list. And what I'm going to do is we've reached a point of the letter where it's kind of a... this is almost... I think in today's way we would do it, we could almost put this as bullet points. Boom, 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 boom. You know, that kind of thing. But it's written here in paragraph. But I want to approach it this morning as Paul is really hitting a lot of bullet points. And I want us to pick those up. So really, we're just going to work our way through the text and look at those. So when we start doing that, we look at this first business of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Anybody struggle with those? Any struggles with any of those? Got one that bugs you? Yeah. I do. Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? Now, I want to deal with one thing on the front end here, is that very often We struggle with, I think, concepts in Scripture because we're trying to feel our way through it instead of do it. Okay? In other words, I don't feel whatever it is. And because we don't feel it, we think that makes it real. What I'm trying to say here is, and I've talked about this in the past with regard to love and all that, is that it's something that you do. Sometimes in life, don't you do things you don't feel? I do. Now again, the fun example I love to give is changing a baby's diaper. Now we call them shoeies. You can imagine what a shoeie looked like, right? Smelled like. In other words, changing a shoeie at 3 in the morning, there was no good feeling there, folks. Was it loving? Was that showing love with no good feeling behind it? I don't like being awakened at 3 in the morning. Do you? Especially to take care of, in the Pritchard family, a shoeie. But I'm telling you, while there was no feeling there, there was love being given. You get my point? So that's one of the things I want us to get here this morning, because very often in life, we'll look at this list and we'll say, that sounds good, I can't do it, because I'm not feeling it. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll change my mind someday. Maybe I'll find out I'm wrong. But I'm of that school of thought that says sometimes you fake it till you make it. Now, I picked that old expression up from Paul Faulkner, if y'all remember him. You fake it till you make it. In other words, there's sometimes in life you go through the actions and you go through the motions of what you know is the right thing to capture later the feeling. Bottom line, if we're led by our feelings, we're never going to make this list work, are we, church? I promise you, there are times I don't want to be gentle. How about you? There are times I do not want to be compassionate. How about you? There are times I do not want to be fill in the blank. Yeah. So this isn't about our feelings. It's about sometimes getting over our feelings and acting this way. Okay? So we good there with that little thing? Now, in other words, as I try to make some sense out of this, one of the ways, now this is just personal to me, one of the ways in which I try to make this happen in my life, one of the little principles that has helped me is really trying to be, I don't know if I've learned, but I'm trying to be empathetic. Empathy is something that I think helps us to practice the things that Paul is talking about. You see, so very often I wonder when we're angry with someone, would we be as angry if we knew what was really going on with them in their life? The more we can learn to be empathetic, the more we can learn to say, you know what? This is not how a rational person acts. And they're not being rational right now. There's something else driving this. Maybe I need to figure that out. And it helps me tremendously in life. Because very often, all I want to do is hit somebody. You just want, whether it's with words or physically or whatever. I mean, you just want to smack them. And you start to realize, and see, the question I have finally asked myself sometimes is this. You know what? If I had been through what they've been through, how would I be acting? Would I be any better? And that brings me back to a... Because see, we get there in the text later. It says, why are we supposed to forgive? Because you've been forgiven. It is not a good thing to accept forgiveness and not pass it on. Not in God's eyes. Yeah. So, empathy is one of the things that I think we do in this list. And of course, I like the notion that love binds it all together. Love binds it all together. And I want to give another example. You ever notice how you'll see a particular behavior on the part of some child, and that behavior just drives you crazy? And then you've got a parent that's defending that child. You got any teachers in the room? Amen. Oh, come on. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying the child's behavior is right and shouldn't be corrected, but sometimes it's that parent knows what's really going on in that child's life, and so is able to express a little empathy and a little bit of sense of, you know, this is why I'm willing to defend this child, or maybe that's why they're acting this way, that kind of thing. Yeah. So that's one of the things. And what I'm getting at is, to put it another way, that parent loves that child. And so that's why very often a parent will express some gentleness and kindness and patience, do all these things for their child when you don't want to. You see, that's what's business about love. And if you want to look at it another way, again, I'm just hitting the bullets this morning. There's a lot, I could spend a lot more time here, but we want to move on into Matthew. So, fair enough. But this business about love, holding it all together, I think is simply about this. How do I bring out the best in that other person? How do I bring out the best in them? Because very often what I want is everybody to bring out the best in me, and I'm not going to help you. How do I bring out the best in that other person? How do I do that? How do I go about it? We do it with our children. We do it with our children. Well, we need a little bigger vision. And that's what Scripture teaches us. We need a bigger vision. Now, one other little issue here we need to take up for a moment as we look at this list. And I'll pick on, I say my favorite. It's not my favorite, but it's my favorite one to pick on. Patience. Got any struggles with that? Sitting here this morning? Yeah. See, the thing that's interesting there is that somebody will say, I lost my patience. And I want to say, go find it. Go get it. Bring it back. Drag it back. In other words, I have seen too many people in my life that because they're not good at something the first time, they think they'll never be good at it. So what if you lost your patience? Hadn't everybody in here lost their patience? You lost your patience? Yeah. So does that mean you never try again? Or do you go get it and drag it back and try again? I'm telling you, the answer is go get it. I lost my patience. Go get it. Bring it back. Let's try again. Patience is something you learn. Kindness is something you learn. Humility, all of these things are things that you learn and you grow in. And we're all at different stages this morning. We're all at different places. We're all at different places there. So remember, if you're not good at it the first time you try it, so what? Do it again. Do it again. You are never going to get good at patience unless you keep trying. You're never going to get good at kindness. You ever tried to be kind and messed it up? Amen. Does that mean you're never going to be kind again? No. Okay, so we get these little issues out there and we talk about those. Now, there's another thing here. It talks about the peace of Christ. It talks about the peace of Christ in our text this morning. Now, very often we take peace in this way. The absence of conflict. Okay? And that's probably one legitimate definition of peace is the absence of conflict. How realistic in any group of people is the absence of conflict? Zero. Yeah. In fact, you can even do a lot of damage by avoiding conflict because it just builds up to something and it blows up somewhere bigger down the road. So in other words, when we talk about the peace of Christ and we talk about unity and all those types of things, it's tying back into this whole idea about goodness and kindness and all these type of things Paul is trying to get us to see here. Is the peace of Christ is about learning how to deal with each other through the very things that Paul just told us. It is not about peace. In other words, you don't go around saying we don't have the peace of Christ because we've got some conflict. Conflict is not the problem. It's how you deal with the conflict. Do you treat each other with respect? Do you treat each other in a way that is loving? Do you treat each other in a way that is kind? Do you treat each other in a way that is patient? And so very often, that's not what I see. That's not what I see. So this business about peace is about learning how to get along, to work out problems, to make some things done. Now, there's another little thing here that is brought up in this text, and it just simply says this. Be thankful. Be thankful. Now, I want to make a point again here with thankfulness this morning and return to our theme I've been getting at. Is thankfulness is not just a word. It is not something you just say. It is something that is lived out. Okay, we get done here today. You guys are going to lunch. Now, I'm going to guess a bunch of you before you eat lunch today are going to say thanks, right? Is that fair? A lot of you are going to say thanks before you eat your lunch. Are you going to say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful food that is sitting on the table in front of us, and then get up and walk away from the table? Are you going to express your thanks by eating it? I'm going to express my thanks by eating what's on the table. How about you? You see, the thankfulness is something, it's not a contented feeling inside. It's something that is lived out in our lives. Now, I did a little fun one there to begin with, but let's come at this one. Guys, is it enough to tell your wife you're thankful for her? Well, that's a good idea. Okay, but let's go with two scenarios. And ladies, help me out here. Let's go with two scenarios. Is it a good idea for your wife to maybe come into the room? You say, honey, I want you to know I am so thankful for you. Could you hand me the remote? Okay, that's one scenario, right? Now, or how about this one? Wife comes in, you say, honey, I am so thankful for you. I want you to know I cleaned the bathroom today. You don't have to do it this weekend. Ladies, which one do you prefer? A or B? B? We good with B? Yeah. You see what I mean by thankfulness is something that is lived out. It's not words that we say. It's not some inner feeling of, wow, I've got it good. Couldn't get any better. It's something that is lived. When he says be thankful, it is something that you learn to express. I am thankful and it's going to come out in my life. I am thankful and it's going to be lived out in my life. You see, we come back to this idea about we live in a world where we say it is what it is, and we want to be a people that are making it in what it should be. We good there? We live in a world that says it is what it is. We want to be a people that says, no, it's going to be what it should. How far down the road would these things Paul has talked about this morning take us in making that happen? Just thankfulness alone. Just thankfulness alone. How far would that take us down the road to making this week a better week? Now, some of you might can pull it off. But so if you've got a story, that's fine. And I'll say there's exceptions. Okay? But I'm here to say, probably with everybody sitting here this morning, I promise you, you've got something to be thankful about. There's something. So if you've been thankful, why don't you go and help somebody else to be thankful? Why don't you live in a way that people are thankful about you? Okay? So you see the little bullets here. Now, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay. And part of the point of that is not just so that you can keep it to yourself, but so that you can give it to others. So you can pass that wisdom on. Okay? Now, here's the deal. Yes, sometimes we pass that wisdom on through words, right? Pass that wisdom on through words. That's fair. I would suggest to you we also pass that wisdom on, and it's just as important and it's just as powerful in the way that we live that wisdom. Amen, church? Yeah. You ever heard the expression, the best sermon is one seen, not heard? Yeah. How do you live? Do you live your life as an embodiment of the wisdom of Christ? And if you're wondering what that looks like, Paul just told us. Learning to practice love and letting love tie together gentleness and patience and humility and all those type of things. How do you embody that? Be willing and able to pass that on, to give it to others. Now there's another little interesting thing he does here in the text. He talks about the idea of our singing and our songs. And I got to thinking about that for a moment, and I got to playing with it this week. And it occurred to me, just think about this for a second, let's have some fun with it. You know, probably for everybody in here, there's a song in your heart. We love music as a culture. There's probably a song in your heart. Now, again, I like to do this. I like to have fun with this. And this goes, I'm sorry, for the younger ones, this isn't going to mean a thing. For the older ones, this will help. But, man, I'm getting old, so it's all I got. Anybody ever watch Hee Haw? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then they tell a sad story. Remember that? Every week on Hee Haw, what did those two guys do? Gloom, you know. What's the song in their heart? Have you not met people that you think that's a song in their heart? Do you not know somebody right now that that's the song that is in their heart? Yeah. And it occurred to me for a moment, you know, maybe one of the things that's really important about us being together here today and to sing is that maybe it can change the song into our heart from that into what it ought to be. See what's important about sitting down this morning together and singing? See, it's an interesting thing that I think Paul brings up here. What song is in your heart? I mean, go around this week and look at people and say, I wonder what song's in their heart. You probably got some opinions about that, right? Yeah. And you just start, you can have fun with that. Like I say, when I started playing with that, man, I could come up with all kinds of stuff as you think about people. And the point is this, the song in your heart ought to be what? One that helps to make you the kind of person you ought to be. You see? So again, I look at it and I have some fun with it this morning, but I got to thinking, you know, what we sing is a big deal. What we sing is a big deal. What song is in your heart? And see, I can look at you guys and I can assign one to you. I got my opinions. The answer is, I don't really know, do I? But you probably got a sense of it. What song do you want to sing this week? So I got to think about that. That'd been a whole great sermon right there, wouldn't it? What song do you want to sing this week, folks? But I'm doing the bullets like Paul, so we'll live with it. There's one other thing in our text this morning that's important. And I think it ends on a great note for this section. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus and to His glory. Amen. Again, I like the positive nature of this. Because again, I've been fighting this whole idea that the rules are somehow going to get us there. The rules only take you so far. The rules only take you so far. In other words, what I have found in life, my experience so far, has been that when somebody is out there trying to please the Lord, I mean, that's really what's on their heart. Okay, we clear about that little thing there. What's really on their heart is about, I want to please the Lord. I don't want to please myself. I'm not interested in pleasing anybody else. I mean, I want to please the Lord. They're generally living right. Is that fair? And here's the other thing. If, for some reason, they are doing something wrong and they're misguided or misjudged on that, when it's made clear to them, if they really love the Lord, what happens? That changes. That changes. Yeah. You see, how much, I mean, when we get down here to this last verse, if you're asking, you know, Barry, we've talked about all this kindness and patience and humility and love and all these great virtues and wonderful things, and I'm still not sure how to pull it off, you could look at this last little section of text here this morning, and I think you could answer it in this way. If you're contemplating something, will it honor the Lord? If you can answer yes, do it. If you can't answer yes, don't do it. If you're working on patience and you're ready to say, okay, Barry convinced me, I'm going to make another run at it, and you're about to give something a try, will what you're going to try honor the Lord or make Him ashamed? See, isn't that a great principle there at the end that Paul leaves us? It's what I'm going to do, honor Jesus. And if it does, give it a try. But if you cannot in your heart say yes, then back off. Okay? Well, we good so far? Again, I love this section this morning because it says in very positive ways, this is what you do. And again, church, I think it's important to me, is to get the idea across, is that it's not about our feelings. It's about doing it. Feelings can come later. If I relied on my feelings to live my life, I'd be a mess. You probably would too. But if I live my life in a way that says, I want to honor God, it changes everything for how I live. Amen? All right. We'll continue on. We're winding down Colossians here. Again, I've been taking big chunks, but hang on a little bit longer and we'll be into Matthew soon, okay? Very good. We want to extend our time of invitation. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. I don't know what's on your hearts and minds, but this is an opportunity to express it if it needs to be expressed this morning. I'll be waiting at the back and Willette will be there with me. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you. My Lord,
can you press my hand? Last week.